three stories in it, three parables, and they're familiar stories. And because they're familiar stories and they're all about in the same area, we're going to look at the full chapter. Concern the parables of the lost. Now, we can group these parables of Jesus into categories. This particular category concerns salvation. Some categories concern wisdom. Some concern judgment. But we're going to look now at three stories, three parables. That's everyday stories that point out and teach a spiritual truth. And we'll be looking at all three of them this morning. You've already read two of them, and I'm going to read to you now the third one. And it's beginning with the parable of the lost son, beginning with verse 11. We've read the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and now we come to the parable of the lost son. You'll notice it's the longest one. And the parable of the lost son is a little bit of a misleading title, but we'll be looking at that as we look at these three parables of Jesus. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided the property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. That you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home and you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Our Father in heaven, bless this time you've given us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's the story of the lost sheep, lost coin, and the lost son. let's change that title of the last one, though. It's the parable of the two lost sons, okay? The two lost sons. To understand the reason for Jesus grouping all these parables together, let's remember he's talking to two groups of people. The first group are people that are his enemies. They're the religious leaders. Eventually they'll scheme and crucify him on the cross. Now, these were self-righteous people. And Jesus was talking to people who were lost in sin. He was talking to tax collectors that were really thieves. He was eating with them. He was talking to women who were prostitutes. And they were coming, they were confessing their sin, these thieves and these prostitutes. And Jesus was welcoming them. And they didn't think he should have anything to do with them. They didn't think anybody should have anything to do with these people. They were lost. Let them be. Now, Jesus came to seek and to save the people that are lost, that were sinners. He came to tell them about their sin. He came to save them from their sin. And so they were cutting across what Jesus came to do. What these people couldn't do for themselves, they were so deep in sin, Jesus was going to do for them. Now he also came to train people to tell the message of salvation, of the love of God the Father for the lost. He's training his disciples. So there's two groups of people he's talking to. And he wants his disciples to do what he's doing when he leaves them. The message of salvation, that God the Father loves the lost and he saves the lost when the lost can't save themselves. You know, we get so deep into sin we can't get ourselves out of it. But God can, and that's the story here. There's these two groups of people he's concerned about, and he's talking to them, and these religious leaders were really going after him. Now, it's good to avoid arguments because it's hard to win arguments, isn't it? And Jesus now tells some stories. It's hard to argue with a good story, isn't it? He tells them these three good stories. Each one of these stories deals with how God the Father deals with sinners. So they're all related to each other. Now the first story is that of a shepherd. And at the end of the day, he counts his sheep after he takes them home. They've been out in the pasture. He has 100 sheep, and he finds one of them's gone. Now he loves his sheep. God the Father loves his sheep. He knows each of our names. He loves his sheep, and he goes and he leaves. He works very hard and he finds the sheep and he carries him home. And you know, sheep are smelly animals. He brings this sheep home. And then when he gets back, he tells everybody and they rejoice. And he says, Jesus says now, heaven rejoices, the angels rejoice when a sinner returns to him, confesses their sin and returns to him, acknowledges their sin and comes home and seek his protection. Now, the second story, but notice the intensity of his love. One lost sheep and the trouble he goes to. But the next story is about a woman who loses a day's wages. She has, I believe it's 7 days' wages there. She has this money, but she loses 1 day's wages, and that woman leaves no stone unturned till she finds that money. She goes after that and hunts and hunts. She's very, very persistent. The sheep was valuable. Her money is valuable. The money doesn't change in value just because it's lost. The sheep doesn't change because it's lost. They remain valuable to the shepherd and to the woman. Now, does that speak to us of the love of God? We are valuable to the Lord. Our value never changes. It's not like losing your money in an investment. When God loves us, He always loves us. We don't change in value. He sent His Son, didn't He, to die on the cross for our sins. He highly values us. Now, those first two stories, the sheep doesn't speak of them being sorry for their sin, because sheep aren't sorry for their sin, are they? It doesn't speak of the money being sorry for their sin, repenting of their sin, because money doesn't do that. But now we're going to talk in the third story. It's the story of the father with two sons. And the youngest son is a rascal. Can you imagine going to your father and saying, I know I'm going to, when you die, you're going to give me an inheritance. I don't want to wait till that time. Would you give it to me now so I can go off and then spend it? And he goes off and he does the wrong thing with it. Consistently, persistently, so it's all gone. And he's penniless. It's worse than living on the streets, the situation in which he finds himself. He had all this money, all these friends, all this good time. He spent it on women and all the wrong things. And then he gets to thinking, oh boy, my dad won't take me back as his son, but maybe I can go work for him. And so it's the story of his going back and his father seeing him in far off, and he runs and grabs him and welcomes him. His son has prepared a speech for him, doesn't get the words out of his mouth. The father welcomes, throws a party. And it's not just cookies and ice cream. He kills the fattened calf. Now, generally, you'd put your cow out to eat grass, and it came a certain time. Okay, you'd butcher him, but nah, there would be the special one that you'd feed it on grain. It'd be penned up, so it'd be nice and juicy and good. This is the fattened calf for special occasions. And everybody is celebrating his return. And the older his brother comes and doesn't like what his father has done. He's jealous. You've never done this for me. This worthless scumbag is back, and you're celebrating his coming home. And the father says to him, well, he's home. He's home. And this, when Jesus tells the story, he's detailed all the things he did to get down to where he was, the steps downward, the steps to ruin, and then he's detailed the steps back. Jesus knows the depths of sin, and Jesus knows people when they truly repent. He returns home, and the father welcomes him. But he's got this problem. The younger son. But he's got this problem with the older son, because the older son, you know, he's just like the Pharisees, the people who are going to eventually kill Jesus. They're enormously critical of Jesus loving sinners, the people that need to be saved from their sin, and Jesus telling them the truth and what they needed to do in order to be forgiven by the Heavenly Father. So there's the older son is like them. So what do we see here? Jesus now is showing his disciples how to love the lost, and he's telling them how not to love the lost, and he's speaking to those people who don't love the lost, the people that Jesus came to save. He's speaking to them and to convict them of their sin. So this is a parable about salvation, training his disciples to minister to the lost the way the Heavenly Father does. Now, what we see in each one of these stories is the Heavenly Father is compassionate and he loves them. He loves the sheep. He loves this lost son. He's compassionate towards them. He's righteous, though, isn't he? He's righteous. The younger son repents, doesn't he? He doesn't just say, "Oh, forget about it. That's okay. Come on. Sit down. We'll have a meal together." No, he rejoices because he repents. And each time we're told in these stories that when the shepherd rejoices, when the woman rejoices, they call in their friends, and it's a picture of the Father in heaven rejoicing. It's a picture of the angels in heaven rejoicing over even one sinner that repents, over the lost being found, over this person who had ruined his life and seen the folly of it and returned to the Father, sorry for his sin, repentant of his sin, desiring a change in the relationship. He gets there and the Father is kind and compassionate towards him when, you know, because he is righteous. He shows mercy and he forgives him. Now, these teachers of the law, these religious leaders, there was no compassion towards the lost at all. They were like this elder son. Now, what was the problem of the religious leaders? What was the problem of this older son? Well, the problem was that they were dealing with other people's sins before they dealt with their own. The Bible tells us all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? The stuff that goes on in our head is bad stuff. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, we have all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. The older son didn't want to deal with his sin. They didn't want to deal with their sin, the religious leaders. And as followers of Jesus, we have trouble dealing with our sin too, don't we? We need to deal with our sin, confess our sin, before we can go out and help others. We need to not be self-righteous and look down on other people and think we're better than them, because we haven't gone down into sin the way they have. We need to deal with our sin. We need to come to the Savior ourselves. Now, one of the themes of these, each of these stories, is that God's love runs deep, doesn't it? It runs deep. For one sheep is as precious to, is precious to him, just one sheep of 100. He doesn't write it off like a businessman. Oh, okay, lost one that day, but that's pretty good. No, he loves the one sheep. He's unrelenting in finding the sheep and the coin in his, there. And he's enormously compassionate, isn't he, and forgiving towards this son who has disgraced his name and blown all this money, this hard-earned money of his, and just treated him rudely. Now, one of the things we learned about sheep, though, is sheep can't find their way home, can they? They're lost. They need a shepherd. And so the shepherd goes and finds them. We can't find our way to God. God comes and finds us, doesn't he? Now, how does God the Father come and find us? Well, he sent Jesus, didn't he? And Jesus tells us a whole lot about ourselves, about our sin and our need for a Savior. Jesus came and took the punishment for our sins so we could be forgiven. God, remember, is righteous. The wages of sin are death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Our bodies do die, but our souls go to be with him in heaven, because Jesus was completely righteous and took all of our sins on him. And oh, it was a painful experience on the cross for Jesus to take all of our sins, the punishment for all of our sins. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was separated from God by all of our sin. It was a painful thing. It was painful. And he loved us, didn't he? And God, and then Jesus rose from the dead, didn't he? And then he sends the Holy Spirit. And if you are different from the Pharisees in just seeing other people's sin, if you see your own sin, and if you confess your sin, then the shepherd has found you. Then the woman who found the money has persisted until God has persisted till he found you. And he has so loved you that he's changed your heart. You've repented of your sin. He sent the Holy Spirit. You are now a new creature in Christ. And you're no longer separated from God the Father. Did you notice how gently the father dealt with this older son? The son is all upset and angry, jealous, just why this, why that? I've been so good to you, and this guy's been no good, and just mouthing off to his father about how bad the other person is. And the father says, he was lost and now he's found. And you didn't do all those things, but I'm going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate his coming home. And so when we acknowledge what we have done and go home to the Lord, it's not that he thinks, oh man. No, he rejoices. Heaven rejoices. The angels rejoice. That really amazes me, isn't it? He speaks of how the angels rejoice when we repent of our sins and return to him. There's joy on earth. And God himself is overwhelmed with joy when we repent of our sin. So he works so that to shift his older son's mind away from dwelling on how awful his brother is. He wants the Pharisees and the Sadducees, these religious leaders who looked down on other people and really were awful people inside, though they looked respectable. But he talks to he wants them to see themselves in this older brother, to see their sin and to confess it. His brother, his younger brother, hadn't earned what the father gave him at all. And the father is kind and compassionate and loves him deeply. God the Father never stops loving his children. The lost, the young son, the lost son, returns, doesn't he? And God the Father forgives him and celebrates his return. Now, what Jesus is telling his disciples is that they are to be holy as their Father in heaven is holy. They are to deal with their sins. They are to confess their sins. That should be their goal. Being holy as God the Father in heaven is holy means loving others, doesn't it? No matter what they've done. It means not thinking yourselves better than anyone, no matter what they've done. But they're to be holy as God in heaven is holy. Now, God holds people responsible, doesn't he? And yet he saves the lost. God the Father is slow to anger and abounding in love. And he says in these parables, come to me, all ye that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Return to me. Return to me. And he comes to us and he does just that. He says, come to me. That's not an invitation. That's come to me and I will give you rest. There's power in that. It's the Father whose love never fails. He says, now you come to me. And he keeps after it. He keeps after until we come to him. He works in us until we come to him. And then we're given a new set of responsibilities, aren't we? I will give you rest. That lost son wasn't lost anymore. He had a new life when he went home to the Father. Now, Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. What has Jesus done to save us? What did they learn that he came to do to save us? They didn't understand it fully, but they came to learn that he came to give himself as a ransom for many. He didn't come to be served, but to serve and give himself a ransom for many. He came to save lost people from their sins. He came so lost people would learn that they were lost and come home. You know, I had a pastor friend who told me a story about how he was praying for a certain situation that the Lord would make this man more miserable so he would come home. He would make him more miserable so he would come home. It wasn't till And that isn't such a bad prayer, is it? If people are just hard-headed, well, maybe he need to be become more miserable. But whatever, we want to pray whatever it takes. Save the come home, that person to come home to the Father. And then we want to remember just how unrelenting God is. And he is with us and he is with us. And he's the great shepherd, you know, but Jesus is training his disciples to be shepherds, to find the lost. He's training them to be those people who will be fishers of men, who will catch men for him. Now, he is with us always, isn't it? And so we go in the power of the Holy Spirit, don't we? And he really emphasizes that when he tells the disciples after he's taught them what the people they're to go after, the lost. He says what? He promises to be with them always. Go, he says, into all the world. There's nothing out there, no lostness out there. There's no lost people out there that you should back away from. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. Disciple them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them salvation by grace through faith. Of what the Father does, what the Son does, and what the Holy Spirit does. And teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Remember, I will be with you always. There's that great promise. I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. He starts out by saying, all power has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And so we're to go. We're to confess our sins, deal with ourselves. And then go in the power of God and seek the lost. And Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. And he is with us. And so we shouldn't ever feel hopeless. We should have great confidence. He's there with us and will be with us until he comes again, and then he'll be with us forever. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these three stories, and we ask that you will help us to remember the love of the Father for us. Now, how Christ illustrated is the love of the Father for these two lost sons. Of how the Lord, as a shepherd, considers each one of us precious. And how we're valuable in his sight, and how he's persistent. And help us, O Lord, to love others with this love that you have placed in our hearts, and to persist in being compassionate and kind and righteous. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.